This is Rick Casals from ExerciseForInjuries.com. I got another interview today with a fitness and performance professional, and what we're going to chat about is the three mistakes that fitness and performance professionals make when it comes to corrective exercise. And I've got Eric Cressy, who's going to share those mistakes with us. But first, I'll get Eric to kind of give us a quick intro on who he is.
Right on. As a quick background, I write a free daily blog and newsletter at ericcressy.com. It's just ericcressey.com. And probably my bigger claim to fame is I'm the owner and co-founder of Cressy Performance, which is a facility about 40 minutes west of Boston. We deal with a wide variety of athletes and regular weekend warriors, but probably our most notable clientele is baseball players. We deal with guys from all over the place. We get a lot of pro baseball players up here to train with us in the off season, and obviously a ton of high school and college, and even younger guys that train with us as well. So that's kind of become my niche, and I've become kind of the shoulder guy as a result of dealing with all of them and really learning how to attack upper extremity dysfunction and anything we may need to address there. And that kind of feeds right into the topic of conversation today, which is corrective exercise and how we attack it.
Okay, so let's get to mistake number one.
I think the biggest mistake is that a lot of people just assume that, corrective exercise, which is a very broad term, has to just be very foo-foo. It's got to be, just little isolated exercises, much like you might see in maybe like a traditional physical therapy setup or something like that. In reality, I look at corrective exercise as something that we do with all of our clients because not everybody moves well, whether they're symptomatic or asymptomatic. There are a lot of people that just fundamentally have a lot of movement dysfunction. So, to me, it doesn't have to just be foo-foo. Sure, we're going to, do certain, kind of isolated things like mobilization and stretching and stuff along those lines to open things up. But I think the bigger thing is you have to look at it as part of an overall plan. So our guys are going to foam roll. They're going to do dynamic flexibility. They're going to do static stretching and activation movements. But they're also going to lift weights. They might be throwing the med ball around. You can use med ball stuff to optimize thoracic spine mobility. You can use deadlifts to, improve glute activation and posture and things like that. So corrective exercise, does not have to be foo-foo. It can be a challenging thing, and people can make great progress and improve their posture and the way they move and still sweat and get a great training effect out of it. So I think that's the biggest mistake that people make is trying to make it too soft. When in reality, people do need to still exercise.
Okay, and number two.
I think a big one that's coming out in the last couple of years is that static stretching is bad. We still use static stretching quite a bit. It's tremendously applicable in a wide variety of situations. And, some people who get chronically short will actually lose sarcomere. So they'll lose that functional unit of the muscle over time because they spend so much time sitting or immobilized or whatever else. So, I think long-duration static holds definitely have a place. We use them. They get used in physical therapy realm in certain positions to get capsular changes, which generally take a little bit longer time and lower load. So our guys static stretch and they do it quite a bit. It's just important to know that, we tend to do more of it, kind of post-workout, whereas the stuff we do before the training session is a lot more dynamic.
Maybe you can expand on that a little bit more. Where do you put the corrective exercise in the program?
Well, I think, the whole thing is, if our clients walk in, they might do 10 minutes of foam rolling. That's corrective exercise. They're moving around. They're addressing some kind of tissue quality restrictions that they may have. They're going to dynamic flexibility stuff, where they're improving range of motion. They're creating stability within that range of motion. That's corrective exercise. Then they might get some med ball stuff that might be paired with extra mobility and activation exercise. So it's a chance to improve on those movement patterns and then integrate it into something that's, more dynamic, more, I guess, functional carryover to the real world. They might be doing some sprint work, things like that. Sprinting in of itself can be helpful for people in terms of opening up the hips and ankles and, obviously in terms of dropping body fat, just functional carryover. And they might go to, lifting stuff where, weight training is tremendously effective for improving posture and, strengthening weak muscles and things like that. So, really the whole session to me is corrective exercise, and the static stretching just may come on the end after we've done all that other stuff.
Okay. And number three.
Your last one is, you know, corrective exercise doesn't have to be an all-day thing. You know, it's not something that you have to do 24/7. People can, you know, put in the time, you know, during their training sessions and do everything right and make great progress. But I think, you know, the important thing that they need to remember is that it's not just about what you do in the gym. It's also what you do in the, you know, other 23 hours of the day. So I talked to our clients about the 23-run rule. You know, we can do everything right for an hour, but you've got 23 hours a day to screw it up if you're not careful. So, you know, we're really cognizant of making sure that, you know, people get up and move around instead of just sitting all the time at work. And, you know, if they're having some kind of an issue where, you know, they may be re-ingraining a bad movement pattern or exacerbating something that was previously painful, you know, we got to get them out of that pattern and keep them healthy and safe.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Eric, for the three mistakes that fitness and performance professionals make when it comes to corrective exercise. So where can people get a little bit more information about you?
They can head right over to ericcressey.com. ericcressey.com.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Exercises for Injuries blog readers. This is Rick Kasselge signing off with another interview with a fitness and performance professional. We will see you on the blog. Take care and bye-bye.